This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samuel Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
You and I, an instruction or a directive. God will say, arise, go to the house of Prophet Samuel or Prophet Eli. I have an instruction for you there that will help your destiny. We pick up our bags, we pack our shoes, we dress up. We run to the house of this person that God has sent us to. We get to the gate of the person. We meet this person in a serious argument, maybe with his wife, or with any of his children, or with one of his staff members. We sit there and we watch. And in our head, we think, how can God send me to somebody like this? To come and receive instruction. Really? Look at this person. Look at how untidy his house is. Look at it. No. I must have heard wrongly. I have to turn back now. I need to pray again. God didn't send me here. And then we turn back. Without receiving that which the Lord has prepared for us, because we presume in our own understanding that God couldn't have sent somebody like that our way. Some years back, when I was an undergraduate, there was this man that was living in Ibadan, in the Oyo State. He contested for the presidency of Nigeria like two or three times. He had a church. He always wore a white garment. I detested this man. I didn't know him from anywhere. I just disliked him. With all my heart, I disliked him. Whenever I see him in a newspaper article, I would hiss. To make matters worse, one of my neighbors in our estate at the time was a member of his church, and he made that one a pastor. And the man had three wives. And that, it didn't grate me. Like, it irritates me to the bone. I can't remember his name. Even if I remember his name, I won't mention it, but primate something. So that's this title, primate, what have you. So I hated this man. I didn't know him personally, much older than my father. But every time I see him anywhere, I just believe it wasn't of God. It was absolutely not of God. I was convinced that if there was a devil's deputy, that primate, whatever, will be the deputy of the devil. Of course, I didn't have a personal dealing with him. I didn't know him. But this was my conviction about him. Years went by. I went to university to study. While I was at the university, I had a campus fellowship that I was leading. And lo and behold, one of the most faithful workers in my campus fellowship happened to be this man's daughter. Of course, I didn't know. Of course, she wouldn't bear the title of her father, but they are bearing the same surname. The girl would come early to fellowship. She would be the one to clean the chairs, arrange the chairs, would do all sorts, follow up. And I had a very strong campus fellowship at the time when I was in Bowen University. So one day, This lady that has been very faithful, that has asked for nothing, I've never asked her for a favor before, suddenly calls me and says, I want to see you. Wherever you are on campus, let me know, I want to see you. So I said, oh, come on. I done everything I was doing. I ran out of the library. Meet me at this cafeteria. Let's talk. We got to the cafeteria. She said, her brother just died. Our younger brother, who was also in our school, 100 level student at the time, said the guy went with some other friends to swim somewhere. He drowned. Ha. Apart from the fact that we were determined in my set that no student would die while I was part of the executive of the BSF, and we had a determination among ourselves that no student was going to die on our watch. The person that I chose to die, sorry, I said chose to die, but the person that decided to die, sorry, I said decided, but to get my point, happened to be a Christian, son of a pastor, one, and then younger brother to one of the most faithful members of my own fellowship. How will I tell the testimony anywhere? So I said, no, we are bringing this boy back to life. We are bringing this boy back to life. So I called two or three other people, about six of us, began to pray in the spirit. We are praying in Boy University campus. The boy had been rushed to UCH, Ibadan. We prayed for about 2 hours. After 2 hours, I had the conviction in my heart that we have to lay hands on this boy and bring him to life. We cannot be praying from a distance. We have to raise this boy back to life. Let's get into the BSF bus. Let's go. So I went to see the chaplain. I got permission to take the BSF bus. I said, we have a quick mission at Ibadan. We have to raise this 17-year-old boy has to come back to life. So we jumped in the bus, drove to UCH. We got to UCH. We were in the bus. While we were going in the bus, those of us who are, there are people that they are tigers in a distance, at a distance. They can pray when they are far from the problem. But when the problem gets closer and closer, they begin to lose their faith. I've seen a lot of Christians like that. You say somebody died in America, they will begin to cry in Nigeria. Sha, hey, let them bring the dead to their doorstep. They will begin to say, God give it and God take it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. A lot of Christians know how to adjust their expectation based on the distance they are to the problem. If they are far from the problem, they can say, let us pray. We are encouraging the Lord. But when they are close to the problem, they adjust their lenses. So while we are going to the bus, some of my co-students started saying, that young man. The Lord said we should let him rest. Ah. The Lord said we should let him sleep. The Lord said it's the one that called him. Faithful is he that promised. So, which is one of the reasons whenever I want to go pray for anybody that is dead or any serious case, I generally don't go with a team till today. I rather go by myself. You see, if you go with two or three people, they can kill your faith. I mean, they can munch it and swallow it whole. So I usually will just do solo. Whenever I have a very strong ministration to do, you will not see anybody with me. I'd rather go by myself because people have a way to dampen your enthusiasm and kill your faith. So by the time we got to UCH, we got to UCH, we were packed. I'm telling you, none of us could come down from the bus. None of us. I was the one leading the charge. My team members that are supposed to prop me up, that are supposed to encourage me in the Lord, all of them said, let's go back to campus. There is no need. In fact, hospital environment contaminates people. There, one said, I'm asthmatic. I cannot go. I mean, I had born again Christians in the bus, eight of us, eight, and all seven are not willing to come down from the bus. When we got to where the dead was, they sat in the bus. Myself and this young lady were also in the bus. She was weeping. I couldn't lose faith because of her. Because even if I wanted to turn back, it would kill my studies on campus. I was the campus fellowship leader. Will I not say I want to go back? Oh, do you understand what happened on campus? They will say, but I think God does not have anointing or that. He was like Peter, I denied the Lord. I had to be strong because I had no option. So I told the young lady, I said, let's go. You know what? We came down from the bus and we were looking right at the vehicle in front of us. At the vehicle in front of us. So the girl just said, oh, that's my dad. My dad is around. I was like, oh, your dad is around. My dad is a pastor. My dad is around. So we walked a bit to me 10 or 15 steps further. And then, because I could see that her father was in the car, I gave her some distance. So she went to approach her father's car. She knocked on the passenger side window. The father looked at her. The father smiled. The father came down from the car. The father was reading the newspaper. This man that I said I didn't like, he came down from the car and I recognized him immediately. And in my heart, I was like, what? This is this girl's father. This is this girl's father. Wow, what a small world. I didn't like this father, but I like the Oh God. And then the man, and he was sitting there in the car reading the newspaper. He wasn't kabashing, he wasn't doing any of those things. It was relaxed. You wouldn't know that he just lost his son. He just waited there. So when we got there, the daughter greeted him. And then he came down from the car. He didn't say a word to any of us. Just came down from the car, walked up to the hospital ward, started climbing the stairs, got to the stairs. The daughter followed. I was third in line. He got to where the hospital where the son was, got into the room, looked at the boy, took the newspaper and smacked him on the head. Quack, quack, wake up. And the boy woke up. Like, the boy just opened his eyes. Boy was alive. He's still alive today. He's a banker. I was like, what? What? My head couldn't process it for several weeks. In fact, I had nightmares. Not nightmares. Not bad. I was seeing it consistently for several weeks. That miracle. When I closed my eyes, I would see it. Sometimes I would feel as if it was my head that they were using the newspaper to touch. And that disabused me of myopia forever. Just wake up in Jesus' name. That's it. No, sha, oh, no drama. No, just walk the Bible. And of course, you know how all the goose pimples, and you start feeling this thing in your spine, as if there's extra energy in you that you want to fly like Superman. All the attending anointing that you feel when the energy of the Holy Spirit is released, they were present. It wasn't the dark energy, it wasn't demonic, it wasn't evil, it was absolutely God. I can say it anywhere. Now, here I was, that kind of a man. I wouldn't, if I see him on the street, I would cross to the other side of the street. I mean, from my perspective as a person, I didn't know him. I didn't know anything about him. We are not close. We are not friends. I just didn't like him. I didn't know why. I didn't know why. Maybe some of the things I read in the newspaper, maybe because of how he dresses, there was just this thing about, I just didn't like him. And yet, when I was going back on campus, I was praying in the spirit, thanking God for the miracle. And I just kept getting this positive vibe. Now, I had to call the daughter after we got back to campus. I had to sit her down. I had to start asking her questions. Is that the first time your daddy will do a miracle like that? What does the daddy believe in? Is it those people that does he do anything fetish? You know, the girl will laugh. The girl will say, "No, my dad's not like that. Where are you getting all this from?" Even I didn't know where I got all the negative belief about this person from. But I had them. But I couldn't say this was where I got them from. It was just, I don't know, maybe this preconception or wrong understanding. I don't know. But that cured me of myopia. Cured me completely. So much so that I gauge everybody by the spirit and not by sight. No matter what anybody tells me about you, I will never judge you based on anybody's word. I will judge you based on the quality of your spirit. If my spirit agrees with your spirit, then you are a child of God. That is how the Bible says we should. It says that that it is spirit to spirit communication. Anyone who you see and the Holy Spirit witnesses to you, this is my child. Such a person is a child of God. So I learned that years ago. It has helped me a lot in the way my Christianity and my walk with the Lord is that I do not put into any kind of box a fellow, a person, no matter how well dressed you are. If the Lord tells me you are not of Him, I will run away from you. If you wish carry an apostle title, be an apostle. Let have a crowd. Let people be shouting your name. You will see me turn away from you. And if God says, "This is my son," and I see that you are wearing, I don't know, cassock or turban, I would gladly rejoice and celebrate the Lord God of your salvation. For you are my king, you are my brother in Christ, and the Lord has told me you belong to Him. By this same principle, I approach my teaching to you today. Don't be short-sighted. Don't allow anybody's opinion of another person color how you see the person. Sometimes I'll see people, I'll talk to them. I got a message 2 days ago. One guy was in serious trouble, a pastor lives in Nevada. Serious trouble. He then sent me a message on in my DM asking for help. This was 2023. I think at that time, I forwarded this case to either Firebrand or COZ. So I didn't call him directly. So he took offense that I didn't speak to him directly. But I didn't know. I have thousands of cases in a year. And I cannot handle the cases by myself. So I delegate cases. It is right for me to do so. But he took offense. But the problem didn't go away. The person that attended to him at that time maybe didn't follow up, or because of the way, the state of his heart, when the person called him, he didn't receive the person the way he should receive the person. He disdained the person, so the communication did not flow. So the problem he had, the health challenge he had, continued to grow. Then 2 days ago, the same person sent me another DM. And this time the person wrote, "I hope, Your Highness, I hope this time you will deem it fit to call me by yourself." So when I saw that statement, I was like, wow, okay, I'll call him. So I called him. And when I called him, his first words to me were, "Ah, after 3 years of waiting, ah, you must have, ah, you are so full of yourself. Ah, the He lampooned me very well, lambasted me very well, put me where he believes I belong. When it was done, he cut the call. Then I called him back. I said, "Okay, are you done venting?" I said, yes. I called you because of the problem you have. Can I pray with you? I said, no, I don't want any fake pastor to pray with me. A pastor that will keep somebody waiting for 3 years. I'm also a pastor. I can never do that to anybody. I was like, oh my God, you don't know me. You don't know me. You reached out to me for help. And I didn't ignore your case. I moved the case along. And you could have been patient. What is the problem? Then he said, he has this particular problem. And when he explained it to me, I said, is that a problem? He said, yes. I said, okay. I'll pray with you now. You will be healed. And after that, I'm doing this simply because I believe that you should be more open-minded. The person that called you that time, I said, who was he? Tell me the phone number. I said, this person will have healed you, will have prayed for you and healed you as of 3 years ago. This is not a mere minister, it's not a trainee. But the state of your heart, you have myopia, you are short-sighted. You are short-sighted. You have myopia. You should be open-minded. You should not be quick to judge. You are the one that you need help. You are the one. The person that needs help is the one that is calling other people names. But Christ has taught us to be better than that. So then I prayed with him. After praying with him, I prayed with him on Thursday when Firebrand were having their 6-hour-long prayer. That was when I prayed with him. And after praying with him, he slept throughout Thursday. He said he woke up to eat only once. Slept throughout Friday. And by Saturday, 12 in the afternoon, he was completely well. He woke up and the part of his body that was swollen, his scrotum that was heavily swollen, had shrunk to normal. So then he calls me and I was like, oh my God, Jesus Christ, I've gone to this place, I've gone to that place. How can God do this? I'm healed, I'm healed. And then I told him, I said, my brother, Jesus does not treat us the way we deserve to be treated. But you have not been fair to me. He said, why? I said, because I saw a message you preach in your church. And I was the topic of the message, which is true. Because when they told me he was a pastor, I went to his website, to their church website. And then I was looking at some of his messages. I just wanted to hear the kind of Christian he was. And the one I would choose of all the messages, I'm telling you, he said there's this guy on Twitter on X, calls himself JSW. He's a fake pastor. He has, only God knows how many people he has. I know these church members will sit down there and they'll be listening to him the way he was, basically nailing me to the cross and finishing me and doing mortal combat, finish him, and doing all sort of whatever to me. And me, I was sitting there at my father's house enjoying the blessing of the Lord. JJ, I didn't even know somebody did not like me. I was using me to preach. And I said, I heard one of your sermons. And he said, ah, Pastor, it was time of ignorance. It was time of ignorance. I promise you, on Sunday, this Sunday, I will begin to do the work of repairing all the damage. I would where I have said that you are evil, I'm going to go there and tell them that you are a child of God. You are my brother. I love you. Ah, but I mean, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I just said, I didn't challenge you because I wanted an apology. I just desire that Christians will extend the hand of grace one to another, rather than the hand of judgment. I desire that all of us as Christians, as we are listening to me this morning, we would adjust the lens of our sight, how we see things, how we see things, and act accordingly. We are full of grace and truth. We are full of power and might. But myopia would shorten the hand rather than elongate it. It will make you judge somebody unworthy rather than open your heart to the person and extend grace to the person. It will make you deny somebody who needs help of help, or deny yourself of help because you will have judged somebody who could help you. You will have judged the person wrongly. I think I've shared this with us before. When I was a PA to Redeem in RCCG, one day Pastor JT Kalitai came to our province to minister. And whenever he comes to minister, I will be the one to stand at his protocol with his PA that will come with him. He will use my office, he will change my office, and then I will lead him to the main church. Then one day he said, there was a member of his church, he was preaching. He said, there was a member of his church that the guy wears only one cloth every time. One cloth, one black suit, only one black suit, not suits like safari suits, black safari suits, every Sunday, every Monday, every Tuesday, one cloth. That I've seen the guy so many times wearing only one cloth. That every time he will be thinking in his heart, ah, hey, God, oh, which kind of job? How can we help this man? This man that has only one cloth, he's faithful, he comes to church all the time, and he's only wearing one cloth. That one day his PA came to him and the PA said, Daddy, that man wants to see you. They said, who? They said, ah, the man that wears only one cloth. Because all of them know him and they used to talk about him. He said, immediately he said, ah, okay, get me some money, let me put it in my drawer. I know he must have come to ask for charity. Let me put it in my drawer. So when he comes in, I'll be able to give him some money. So his PA went to get some cash, brought it to put it in his drawer. Then he said the man should come in. So the man came in, sat down. He said he was expecting the man to say, sir, please, I need money for transport. I need money for food. I can't pay school fees, something like that. Because he didn't know the guy from anywhere. And the guy had been a faithful member of his church for some time to put money in. And my heart feels like donating. Pastor Tari, that is full of the Holy Ghost. And he's a man of great signs and wonders. But you see that thing called myopia? There's nobody that I cannot affect. If he didn't even process this guy through discernment or through the spirit, he processed him directly through sight, through the flesh. He saw him and he judged him according to sight. And Jesus Christ said clearly to all of us that we should not measure anybody by sight. We shouldn't even trust our own human sight. We should always see people through the lens of the spirit. And so this is my admonition to you in this new year. Take away myopia. Don't shoot yourself in the foot. Don't allow anybody to gauge, to measure for you how you must see somebody. People that will do side talks, that will call you and begin to whisper in your ears, what they do is they condition how you see. They tell you, ah, that person is not good. That person is evil. They want you to see that person through their own lens. Therefore, they will shorten your own sight and not allow you to see the person through your own spirit. Do not trust in anybody trying to infect you with myopia. Learn to judge people by the spirit so that the blessing that God wants to give to those people, you can give it to them. And the blessing God wants them to be to you, they can be to you. And you can enjoy the fullness of God. As God likes to his children to interact and for us to be able to work together in unity. I hope I've been a blessing to you through this short admonition. As we go to all the fields of endeavor that God has committed to your hand today to minister and declare that the hand of the Lord is upon you. You will minister grace, you minister peace, you minister life. You will be a recipient of the fullness of the Holy Ghost in all the services you will attend. And those who meet you will encounter grace, and those who meet will also encounter grace. God bless you. We are still in the month of meditation. The hand of the Lord is upon you. You will continue to hear from him, and your eyes of understanding will be opened. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. If you are blessed, please submit and shout, Glory!
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 Glory to God!
Glory to God! We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com for more inspirational content and teachings. God bless you.